when did I start? It was a long time ago. Back in the early days of the universe, when global warming wasn't a thing, and, you know, dirt was new, and Betty White was still young.
I've been involved in fencing over 35 years, 36, something like that, yeah.
I always wanted to do it. I guess, like, Princess Bride, Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars was good for me, too.
Read a bunch of books with fencing in it.
You know, I'm 62 now. You can do it at my age. You can do it as a kid.
I think I started when I was a senior in high school. Yeah, I did. My high school had fencing as a thing you could do in gym. And so, like, at the end of the year, they had a list of things you could say you wanted to do, and fencing was on there. I was like, oh, stabbing people, that looks like fun.
I needed a hobby.
Yeah, I need stress relief. And I like competing.
And stabbing people.
That too. With no bloodshed, usually.
It's really good exercise, and it's good mental focus. It relieves stress because you can't think about anything else other than fencing while you're fencing. I found it very helpful dealing with some issues that I had to deal with. So that's basically what keeps me going.
So I did it for gym for 3 years, and then they're like, hey, Eric, you know we have a fencing team. And I was like, what? I can do this outside of gym? And so I joined the team.
Did it as a kid, stopped for a while, did it again, stopped for a while. About 10 years since the last time I started up again.
The coach of the team was this, he was like 40-something guy from Kazakhstan. It's like, hello, Eric. I'm going to teach you how to be fencer. You will be world-class fencer in 2 years. 2 years later, I still wasn't a world-class fencer. But, you know, that's beside the point.
Yeah, one of my first instructors had been on the 1932 Olympics and got the bronze medal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was just like, yeah, it takes 50 years to begin to learn defense, but I feel like I'm getting the hang of it now.
Kept doing it because, you know, great way to stab people. I mean, sorry, a great way to let out all your frustration by stabbing people.
People don't like to sweat. They're like, this is more work than I thought it was going to be. I thought I would just stand here and brandish a sword at somebody and look cool. And it's like, what, this is work? I mean, I'm going to have sore muscles. I'm going to be exhausted afterwards. That was not what I had in mind. So, yeah, people who come into it with a wrong impression of the sport, they tend not to stick around.
It's really fun because it's almost like, It is almost like a game. You just think it's very turn-based.
It's totally a game.
Like almost like the card game Magic, where it's like you go, I go, you go. Even though it's your turn, I got a counter.
I never was really one for team sports. Like, you know, as much fun as it is kicking a soccer ball around or throwing a frisbee around or, you know, whatnot, it just wasn't my thing.
Keeps you healthy, keeps you active, keeps your mind active as well as your body. You know, you can go run on the treadmill and be active, but you're not using your brain to make instant decisions and all the things that are demanded by fencing.
So. I ran cross country for 6 years. Fencing is so much more exciting because instead of just running, like, even if you run in the forest, it's like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot more like adrenaline inducing. Because it's like, there's a guy with a blade right in front of me.
You know, there's so many sports where people will work so hard to get good at, and then you know, they graduate from high school or college, and they're like, you know, how many 60-plus football teams are there? You don't see that.
There are age groups for different things. Some competitions are only for older people, only for younger people.
Yeah, like, you know, in soccer, you usually only see people up to, like, 25, 30 playing at 35, late. But fencing is one of those sports where, like, you can be a competitor until you're, like, old and gray and decrepit. And, like, you know, there's this one guy who I saw at a tournament when I was in Chicago. He was, like, you know, he's sitting there in the before his bout, and he's just like, you know, he's like sitting in a chair, and you just see he's kind of like a little hunched over. And then they call his name, and so he like, you know, puts his hands on his chair, and he like gets up, and he kind of like slowly, he like picks up his foils, he picks up his mask, and then he slowly hobbles his way over to the strip, you know, hooks himself up, they test his weapons and all that stuff, and then, you know, he gets down into on guard, and then when they say fence, he just starts moving, like, you know, it was like, it was, I didn't expect someone who was like, you know, walking like an old person to be that nimble and agile.
One time, before I opened this place, I was teaching in my basement, in my house. And this, I had these two brothers, and they had a little tiny brother who was still in diapers. Mm-hmm. And he would like to sit and watch while they were taking their lessons. And one day, in the middle of the lesson, he got up and he toddled out right in between us, so of course we stopped, right? And he just did a perfect lunge and came back on guard. And then he just walked off again. I was just like, you're not even 2 years old. That was beautiful.
I could be giving my 110%, but then, you know, someone else is only given 80%. And then, you know, we lose because, not because I wasn't given it my all, but because someone else was and whatnot. And so, you know, I didn't like counting on other people a lot. So fencing is one of those sports where it's like, it's just you and your opponent, and you know, if you done mess up, it's all your fault. You know, there's nobody to blame, but, well, okay, that's not quite true, but there's pretty much no one to blame but yourself.
My favorite, I think the challenge, that was what I always liked, you know, when I was fencing collegiately, when I was fencing internationally, World Cups and stuff like that, it's always a challenge of demanding more and more of yourself and trying to see if you can outwit that person across the strip from you.
Most part, you're fencing all ages, both sexes, and, you know, you can be, you know, together with lots of people. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, Luke's a good example of someone who's been doing it since Betty White was young and beautiful. Now she's old and beautiful.
Yeah. Yay. There are videos of me fencing, so people don't deny that I ever did anything. Ugh.
I'm a foilist, and it's like the most uptight of all the weapons because there's like a lot of rules.
The stereotype is that foilists are lawyers because they like to argue.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. It's like, it's the most limited in the way of where you can hit. Only the chest is a valid target. And so it becomes very technique focused and focused on form, because you don't really have the room to like be creative and hit somewhere else. So it becomes very skill based.
Hands down, foil is my favorite. I mostly fence foil. I pick up saber on occasion just for like funsies, and you know, I sometimes do epee. But like, I guess what I really love myself about foil is that it really forces you to be moving all the time and always thinking. So all the weapons require you to think, but foil's one of those ones where you generally can't stop thinking, that you have to you gotta be on your toes, so to speak, and you gotta be moving. There are some rules to how you get a touch, so you are looking for a way to construct your step towards winning. You know, like epee, I guess it's okay. It's a lot. I just don't feel like I'm getting as much of a workout with it. But, you know, because everything's slower, and if you go too fast in epee, someone's going to punish you because they just know, okay, I just need to go like, boop, stick the arm out and do it just in the right way to hit you and then, you know, run away.
I fence epee, which is the heaviest of the weapons, and it's different from foil in that you can hit anywhere. It's kind of based off of the old idea, like, fight to the first blood, so you end a duel when you get stabbed in the toe, maybe. We also don't have right-of-way, so you can both hit at the same time, and it will count. Epe is considered sometimes by people to be the slowest and boringest to watch, because you're like, you spend a lot of time sizing up your opponent and planning what you're going to do, because even though you can hit anywhere, by attacking, you expose yourself to being hit. So you want to make sure that when you attack, that you're doing it in a smart way.
Saber's kind of fun, like foil. It's why I do it on occasion. You know, it's literally just... It's a little less... I find it a little bit less mentally demanding than foil. But it still is mentally demanding. And it's just... It's a very high-paced sport. It's like chess at 120 miles an hour.
Okay.
All right, but okay. The Ariel is here.
I think we can both agree that Saber is, like, super fast.
It's, like, impulse after impulse.
Saber is, like, preconceived notions, and then you go. Because you have to... So Saber is the fastest weapon, and it's like foil in that you have right of way, and also that you have limited target area.
I don't know enough about Saber to, like,
I've talked to media every time. But the idea, so like in foil and epe, and I feel like in especially epe, your plan changes a lot as you're going back and forth or doing whatever you're doing in epe. In saber, you kind of like plan between the touches because you only have, it's super fast and you only like have that fraction of an instant to think when they're like running at you.
You know, almost like, I think in the beginning of the year, you guys describe it to us as like rock, paper, scissors. Where so you just go and you have to commit.
Yeah. So Saber takes a lot of commitment.
So, you know, if I tell someone to pick up, I'd say pick up foil because foil's my favorite. But, you know, it's really what suits you if you're more of a, not a slow-paced person, but, you know, you like taking your time and, you know, it's like, ba-dum-ba-dum, you know, you're going slow. And it's like, you know, you just... moseying along and then boom, something quick happens. Like, that's what suits you. You should do epe. If you're like, oh, I like moving around. I kind of like going, you know, nice jog. I do foil. And then if you're one of those people that's like, rage! And then you just want to get mean, green, and ugly, like, saber might be the thing for you.
No need to be civil.
Epe's better.
Foil's better. It involves more raw skill and talent.
My blade's bigger.
Yeah, ours is bendier and allows for wider tactics by allowing us to flick easier.
My blade's stiffer.
Easier to push away.
Takes a lot harder to break an epe.
Okay. Dirty trick right there. Alan, just get a new blade.
Alan.
I like them all, really. I didn't get to really compete in Saber because women really weren't allowed to do it back when I was a fencer. And I started with foil because that was the only weapon women fenced. Mm-hmm. And then women started doing some epe, and they developed, you know, they finally had national events for women in epe. And my coach was asked to coordinate a tournament in Boston because the... they were having like a big women in sports celebration, and they were trying to have competitions in all the different sports that women compete in. And so my coach said, you know, we should have an epe tournament because that's kind of, you know, that's coming out now for women. And so she wrote to all the women epeists in the country, and six of the top eight said they would come. So she was like, holy cow, we, you know, this is the good fencers are coming. So she's like, okay, I need you to fence in this tournament. I'm like, I don't know anything about epe. And she said, it doesn't matter, I just need more bodies. I want to make sure there are lots of fencers here for them. And I was like, okay, fine, you know, you do whatever your coach tells you to do. Yeah. So she handed me a couple of epes. So six of the top eight in the country are there. and I take third.
Oh.
And when I went to give her back the épée, she goes, I think you should keep them. And so then I started fencing épée as well as for us. So I did both. And pretty high level for quite a while. I was in the top 16 in the country in both weapons. And then there was a lot of pressure to push me into épée because they felt they had a strong foil team, but they wanted a stronger épée team, and they didn't want me in the foil team. So I was like, okay, fine. I guess I'll train more épée. So I did a lot more World Cups in épée than I did in foil. But saber, yeah, we were not welcome in saber. I fenced one three-weapon tournament where you had to fence all three weapons, and I was the only woman there. And they let it be known that I was not welcome, so I had, like, welts all over my body after the saber. And that was back when it was dry saber. It didn't have electric saber. So, like, every time I hit, nobody saw it, you know. Uh-huh. There was no, like, nobody saw that hit? So I was like, okay, let me just slam them really hard. Anybody see that one? No? Oh, okay. You know, it's just like, you just got to say, forget it, doesn't it? I wouldn't have fenced in that tournament, but I needed to warm up for a World Cup, and there was no other tournament for like 500 miles. So it was like, this is the only one I could fence FAN. I got to do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was an unpleasant experience all around. So it's nice now that, you know, women can fence anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first started coaching, there were very few female coaches, and that was like a big deal. Like, I had a friend who I became friends with, because she was another female coach. And we go to national events, and we would hear the most amazing things from other people. Our favorite was, well, you know, your fencer would do much better if you had a real coach. You know, and just be like, thanks. And two of my students are in the finals of the Junior Olympics here, and none of yours are. So I'm starting to think I'm a real coach here. You know? But, yeah, we used to get all kinds of garbage from it. But now there are tons of women coaching now. It's really nice. So yeah, that's a nice change, too.
Yeah, and it's something people usually don't hear about very much. That's one of the hardest things to get people interested in it.
When I was in Europe one time, I was competing in a team event, and there was a radio announcer up there in a booth. Blow by blow action, what's going on down below with us. And, you know, like we would listen to baseball or football in the United States, but they're listening to that in Belgium.
Oh, wow. So. I always wanted to do it, just didn't seem like accessible. It seemed really expensive.
And there wasn't really a place nearby.
Yeah, no.
Growing up.
The club was a good opportunity. When it's like, I could actually fence and not have just, like, make a huge investment for something I may or may not like.
Well, certainly, like here at the Iowa City Fencing Center, we provide equipment for people to start, but not all clubs do. Some clubs you go to, you have to buy your own equipment in order to start fencing, and that can be a big drawback, because if you're not sure you want to do it, you don't want to invest any money into it at that point. So, you know, it's one of the reasons why we provide equipment for use here.
A lot of times people just have to find a club to go to in their area, which actually there are a lot more than you'd think. Like, they sometimes just, like, function out of warehouses and stuff like that. Like, the one here in Iowa City is essentially working out of a warehouse, or there's one in Champaign-Urbana that also is essentially working out of a warehouse as well, so.
Well, one of my favorite stories is a little boy that I started training here, and he didn't talk at all when we first started, and then the next week he came in and we were fencing and we took a little break, and he looked up at me and he said, this is my dream come true. And I was just like, oh, that was just so, you know, heartfelt. And it was just a kind of a wonderful thing to hear, because, you know, running the fencing center is kind of a dream for me too. Mm-hmm. to do that and to expose people to the sport. You know, one of the things that I really love doing is teaching. We do these 2-hour introduction of fencing classes, and it's just a crash course in fencing. And I really enjoy doing that, because it's bringing the sport to people who've never tried it before. A lot of them come from far away. They'll never be back. Some people might come and take classes after that, but, you know, just to let them see what fencing's all about and understand when somebody says, oh, fencing, they actually know what we're talking about. I mean, so many people come in and they think we're fencing with sharp swords, and it's just like, no, we don't fence with anything sharp ever. We like to play with the same person more than once. And, you know, just clearing up those misconceptions and letting people have an opportunity to actually try fencing, that is a lot of fun for me.
Nice! Just one more, Al.
Refocus!
Don't stop fighting, Al. Don't stop. Nice!